I'll read you the three verses. It's John chapter 8, verses 43 through 45. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You may be seated. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Who is he speaking to? There's somebody who cannot believe. Even though he speaks the truth, they're not going to believe him. I have a quote here. Who do you believe and why do you believe it? If you are not good at communicating what you believe, you need to know how to persuade using facts, unquote. Who do you think said that? The statement is very close to what the Bible says about this subject. Do you believe what Jesus Christ or his disciples said? Or do you believe the opposite viewpoint that a Talmudic follower issues out of his mouth? Does that make a difference to you? Do you believe what a true prophet of God says, or do you believe what a false prophet says? They are both in the world today, with the majority being false prophets. And there is a genetic people who cannot believe the truth. Who do you think said the words in the above quote? Was it a Bible believer or a Talmudic believer? He went on to say that insulting people and hypocrisy doesn't work if your objective is to persuade. It was said by Congressman Trey Gowdy in a speech he gave at Liberty University. A person who is following the laws of our God is preferred by our seed over a person who is following what the Talmud tells him is correct. Because the Talmud tells him that it's okay for him to lie to any goyim for almost any reason. That is one reason that the Jews were forbidden to be part of a jury, a part of Congress, or any part of our government in its early stages. Now all races are supposedly equal, so the racial alien can attempt to be anything that they want to be, pushing their ways of behavior. The following quote is given by John Swindon, who was the head of the New York Times. This was part of a speech that he made to the Independent Press in a gathering of the National Press Club. It was given about 20 years ago. Here's part of what he said that night. There is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write his honest opinion, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allow my honest opinion to appear in one issue of my paper, that's the New York Times, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this, toasting an independent press? We are the tools and the vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes, unquote. John told us that the journalists of today are the vassals of rich men behind the scenes. Who are the rich men that he was talking about? Reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Was John, remember he was the head of the New York Times, lying to his fellow journalist, or was he telling the truth? Do you believe he was telling the truth? Let's look at some stories that appeared in the news in the recent past and see who you believe. The first one's a murder victim. Here in Cincinnati, we had a very unusual murder. A 44-year-old white man with special needs was driving his car during his lunch break. A 4-year-old black boy darted between two parked cars and was hit by the driver. The boy's father, who happened to be a cocaine seller, and another black friend rushed to the car and beat up the driver and his passenger, and then shot and killed the special needs white driver. He then called 911 and admitted what he had just done. The boy had minor injuries. The father and his friend then took off and hid from the police. They now have the father in jail while his friend is still on the loose. This story was buried for almost a week in the media, until finally it began to catch some notice in the press. They were discussing this case on WLW radio, and I heard one of the announcers say, quote, "You know, if the races were reversed, you'd know if a white guy had murdered a black driver who had injured his child, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson would be down here conducting marches in the street," unquote. They discussed a liberal bias in the media and the politically correct views in the press. The press is slanted to emphasize white-on-black murders, not the other way around. They ignore the multitude of black-on-black murders, too. Do you believe the announcer's statements are correct? Amazon's banned books. Amazon just banned the books that deny the brutality of the Holocaust. They refused to sell the books entitled The 6 Million, Fact or Fiction? The Myth of the 6 Million, The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, and The Bad War. And there's many other books that they banned. And these are just four of the examples of books banned by Amazon in March of this year, 2017. But every Zionist book that targets the Palestinians with hate speech and violence continues to be sold by Amazon, along with the DVD of The Lost Tomb of Jesus, which denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hate is a one-way street at Amazon, and the people that are protected from it are the self-chosen. Hatred toward Goyim is not grounds for a ban, obviously. The banned revisionist books are attempts at offering scientific, technical, and historical skepticism towards the secular history of World War II. But there needs to be a question answered. Is it more sacred than Jesus Christ? The resurrection of Jesus Christ can be denied in today's world. The central difference between Christianity and all other religions can be called a lie. That is being politically correct. But the homicidal gas chambers of Auschwitz can be denied. What? The flimsy gas chamber showers that killed millions of Jews from all of Europe cannot be denied, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ can. Who benefits from such a notion? The Jew. Calvary has been replaced by Auschwitz as the prime focus of evil. What do so-called Christians say when the degradation of their Savior is made? What do they say when books say that our Savior is now in hell because he was evil? Nothing. The silence is deafening. Thomas Jefferson swore on the altar of God eternal hostilities against every form of tyranny over the mind of men. Amazon is imposing just such a tyranny. Many of these books were sold on Amazon.com for 10 years or more, and the world did not come to an end. But the World Jewish Congress and other Jewish rabbis have ordered their removal, and Amazon has submitted to the requirements of religious fanatics and nationalist zealots. But do you know that American Jewish Congress printed a news story along with a fund drive on May 20th, 1920? This was just 2 years after World War I ended. The Nazis were over a decade away from taking power in Germany. The story said, quote, "The fund for Jewish war sufferers in Central and Eastern Europe, where 6 million face horrifying conditions of famine, disease, and death," unquote. Rabbi Stephen Wise, the powerful head of the American Jewish Congress and chairman of World Jewish Congress, wrote in the second paragraph, quote, "If American Jews now fail to help those who suffer through no fault of their own, the blame will rest on their own head should they miserably perish. Surely no self-respecting American Jew will wish or even will suffer the extinction of a large number of Jewish people to come to pass," unquote. Well, what do you believe? Were there 6 million Jews in danger of perishing in 1920? Did the article provide the correct action to take? Is Amazon right in refusing to sell these books? Did they ban any other books? Were books that tell work of magic, Satanism, rituals, seances, feminism, and others that denounce the law of God banned? Would a book say that says that Jesus was not God be banned? Would a book that says that Jesus was just a man, not the creator, be banned? Who do you believe? Nobody died at Sandy Hook. Amazon also banned the book. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. Amazon banned in their first stage all books that the Jewish Congress doesn't like because they tell the truth. For example, to this date, unlike all other shootings or terror incidents, authorities have refused to release any crime scene photographs or video footage of either the victims or the perpetrator. In other words, there are no photographs or videos which have been made public that has any of the 26 victims or shooter in them. In fact, the actors at Sandy Hook had their homes paid off, and the newspaper reports totally ignore this information. You can go on there and see what's down to zero. None of the police dash cam footage or any other footage shows any children ever being evacuated from the school on the day of the shooting. Now, you'll probably say there's a photograph that proves that. This famous photo taken by the Newtown Bee photographer of children being led away by an FBI agent has since proven to have been staged and actually happened a couple months before the incident. The photographer received awards for her false foot photo. Here's the picture right there. And she received awards, and then they found the second photograph that she took that day. Here's the second photograph. Once the second photo emerged, however, the game was up. Parents would not have been present in time for the emergency evacuation, where the road to the school was blocked at the firehouse. And they certainly would not have been standing with their arms folded had this been a bona fide shooting. In this case, we have the presence of evidence that should not be present at all. The Sandy Hook official story is that there was a massacre of 20 elementary school children, plus two adult administrators, plus four adult teachers, one a substitute, plus the mother of the shooter who was shot four times by her son. The divorced father said his former wife was shot 4 times in the head because each shot was for one of the members of his family. A teacher hiding in the math lab heard school janitor Rick Thorne yell, "Put the gun down." He was yelling at the shooter. He is the only eyewitness who is still alive who supposedly saw the shooter firing his weapon. Why didn't the autistic child shoot the janitor? With his higher than anyone else's death shooting rate, he would have no doubt killed the janitor at Sandy Hook. This Rambo-like soldier would not have missed. What happened? Who do you believe? Has anyone heard an interview with the only living eyewitness to the crime at Sandy Hook? Just who was this janitor, Rick Thorne? Has anyone heard an interview with the brother of the murderer? He was the first one they thought committed the crimes. His name was Ryan Lanza. It's because Adam had in his possession the driver's license of Ryan. But Ryan said that he had not seen Adam in 3 years. Did Ryan not drive a vehicle for 3 years? Has anyone heard an interview with the shooter's father, Peter Lanza? He has refused all interviews from newspapers, television, and radio. He gave one interview to a friend who was a writer for a magazine. Rick Thorne was the janitor of Sandy Hook's elementary school. Or was he? He made a call to 911 and said that a window at the front of the school was shattered, and he kept hearing shooting. "There's still shooting going on. Please," the custodian pleaded, as 6 or 7 shots could be heard in the background. "Still, it's still going on." Within 11 minutes of entering the school, Lanza had fatally shot 20 children and 6 educators with a semi-automatic rifle. Lanza also killed his mother in the Newtown home before driving to school. He committed suicide as police closed in. Newtown police officers arrived at the school within 4 minutes of the first 911 call, but nearly 6 minutes passed before they entered the building when they sorted out concerns of a possible second shooter, according to the prosecutor's report. Here's the timeline of the calls. Rick Thorne first called at 9:26:13 a.m. He called back at 9:40 for 3 minutes and 24 seconds and then called right back at 9:43:55 and spoke for 4 minutes and 10 seconds. Partway through call 7, Rick Thorne sees the officers coming in. Why was Rick at the elementary school? Was Rick there as a janitor? Why did he make 3 consecutive 911 calls? Why did he call 3 times in less than 12 minutes and talk for over 11 minutes? Do you know he's not the regular custodian? He was let go from his job hours away from Newtown. The regular custodian just so happened to be off that day. Rick Thorne worked as a custodian at the Clems Ford, Massachusetts schools for 22 years, earning $20 an hour cleaning floors, cutting grass, and setting up for assemblies in the community, about 30 miles northwest of Boston. In March of 2011, the 5,500-student system put its custodian contract out for a bid. Aramac Corporation, a Philadelphia-based global food service and facility management company, agreed to clean the town's 7 schools for $841,000 annually, $400,000 less than the custodian's union. Aramac offered Thorne and other members their jobs back at $825 to $875 an hour. They declined. Rick Thorne, who was supposed to fill in janitor at Sandy Hook Elementary School on the day of the mass shooting, called 911 to report the tragedy. His report had some errors in it. The most outstanding one was when he said that he saw 2 adult women lying dead in the hallway, one who was wearing an orange dress. Neither woman, per the police report, had anything close to an orange dress on. They both were wearing blue jeans. But that's not the real issue. Have you ever seen a photograph of Rick? Could you identify him if you had to? What do you know about him? Is he married? How many children? Has anyone ever heard of an interview with him? He was the only witness to the crime. He saw what took place. Who do you believe and what do you believe? Do you believe the FBI crime statistics in the United States in 2012? Notice how many murders they list happened in Newtown, Connecticut. Here it is. Murder and non-negligent manslaughter right here. This is the town of Newtown. Violent crime, there were 7 violent crimes. Newtown. That's where Sandy Hook happened. No one was murdered in the year it's Connecticut, 2012. None. They forgot they had the FBI report. A few months after Sandy Hook tragedy, the elementary school was demolished so that no trace remained. All the workers were made to sign non-disclosure agreements so they would never discuss anything they may have seen. Who do you believe? What do you believe? Spain makes amends. After 525 years, Spain is seeking to make amends for the expulsion of Jews in 1492. Jews prospered in medieval Spain under Muslim and Christian rule. But that changed in 1492 when the Catholic monarchs, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, expelled them. Some 300,000 Jews, up to a quarter of the Spanish population, had to convert to Judaism or flee Spain or were killed in the Spanish Inquisition. Many Edomites, Ashkenazis, and Canaanites falsely converted in both Spain and Portugal. Many fled and many were killed. This was the same scenario that Hyrcanus had put before his Edomite captives many centuries before. Many Edomites falsely converted in Palestine. Many fled and many were killed. Now their descendants may become Spanish again under a draft law approved by Spain's government. It would grant Spanish citizenship to descendants of Jews expelled in 1492. A recent amendment would let them keep their current citizenship too. Spain says it wants to rectify what it calls a historic mistake. The measure still needs approval by both houses of Spain's parliament and is expected to become law this spring. The historic mistake was letting the offspring of the serpent in their country in the first place. Giving them the choice to either join their church or be murdered or flee was not the proper penalty either. These racial strangers have a natural hatred for Jesus Christ and for his followers. A tare cannot be turned into wheat, or a goat cannot be turned into a sheep. They should have been forbidden to be allowed in any Israelite nation, for they are to be snares and pricks to Christianity. Well, who or what do you believe? Do you think that Spain made a historic mistake 525 years ago? Anti-Semitism in recent days. An example of one of these pricks was that there were multitudes of reports of grave tombstones being overturned in diverse Jewish cemeteries in the United States. There were, at the same time, reports of bomb scares reported via telephone messages to various Jewish centers and synagogues. This prompted Governor Cuomo of New York to promise Jewish institutions $25 million in state dollars to protect them in their cemeteries and institutions. Cuomo said the following, now here's his quote. In the United States, now we have had a rash of anti-Semitism, over 100 acts of anti-Semitism, and I am sad to say in my state, the state of New York, it is disgusting, it is reprehensible, it violates every tenet of New York State tradition. New York State, by its definition, is a celebration of diversity. It accepts all who believe in the spirit of inclusion and who by discrimination of none. To the people of Israel, he means Jews, I say that these acts of anti-Semitism which were done by a person who is a Jew and who resides in your own country, Israel, I added that part, will not be tolerated. The New York State has reacted aggressively with extraordinary measures, more aggressively than any other state in the nation, I am proud to say. We have posted rewards. We have put together a special unit of state police. We have made it clear that there will be no tolerance for these acts of anti-Semitism, unquote. The previous quote was published before it was determined that the bomb threats were a hoax. The person who was captured was residing in Israel and was responsible for making calls to the Jewish centers and other institutions with bomb threats. The Jewish teen is being charged with making 150 bomb threats since January in North America and Australia. It is embarrassing for the Jewish community that one of their own was anti-Semitic, but the money will still roll in. Now, who do you believe? Alabama abolishing marriage license. Alabama is considering a law that would abolish marriage license in the state. The proposed bill, sponsored by Republican State Senator Greg Albritton, amends Alabama law to remove any requirement that couples attain marriage license or have marriage ceremonies. But Albritton says this is not a new idea. Quote, I am only going back to the way we were doing things about 100 years ago, he said, noting that until Alabama initiated marriage license in the early 20th century, marriages were conducted and then recorded in the probate office exactly as his bill would require. Who do you believe? What do you believe? You believe this is a good idea? Now, the biblical history of Palestine. There's an old strategy, divide and conquer. If you destroy a people and a nation's identity by mixing them up with other peoples and intermarriage, they cannot be cohesive and bond together. They have different values, if any at all. They no longer have their initial identity. But the one forced upon them, so there's no longer anything to resist. This is what is being done to all of Christianity. When the tiny, tiny remnant, about 46,000 out of 12 million Israelites of Judeans who had been taken captive by the Babylonians and who were living in the foreign land returned to Jerusalem 70 years later, they were the minority in the Promised Land. While they were living there, they had to overcome acts of terrorism and being dragged into court on false charges. Both the prophets of God, Ezra and Nehemiah, had to zealously watch the less godly element of their own people. Many of them were acting just like their ancestors, for they were continually intermarrying with aliens, which God always eventually sent away. Both the divorced alien wives and all offspring by them. This tiny remnant of a small portion of the nation of the southern kingdom were blessed by God to the degree that they turned their hearts to them. Eventually, these Israelites of the house of Judah repopulated the land of their fathers. However, it was always a mixed multitude. The purer concentration of blood was in the northern third of the land known as Galilee. It consisted mainly of the tribe of Benjamin, although there were some of the tribe of Judah and Levi residing in its territory. All of Jesus' disciples came from this part of the country except for one, and 11 of them were from the tribe of Benjamin. Jesus Christ lived in this portion of land of his people during his upbringing and ministry. He went there after a short stay in Judea and Egypt. The lower third of the land was Judea. Judea had more aliens because these racial strangers are always attracted to the larger cities, and Jerusalem was the foremost city. This was where the temple of God was located, although the priest had been supplanted by many foreigners. The king also ruled from the city of Jerusalem. He also was a racial stranger. At the time of the birth of Jesus, his name was Herod, an Edomite Jew. The central third of the land of Israel was Samaria, which was named after King Omri's hill city of Samaria. Post-exilic Samaria was utterly corrupt, unless the Samaritans were shunned. The king who led the house of Israel into captivity had replaced them with racial foreigners from his neighboring areas and his own country. This does not mean that every single Samaritan was of mixed blood any more than every single person living in downtown Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, Atlanta, and so forth are aliens. However, it means that a clear majority of Samaritans were not Israelites. However, there were many aliens also in Galilee and Judea. But is this true? Do you believe this? The mass conversion of Jews. About a century and a quarter before the birth of our Savior, Maccabean leader John Hyrcanus conquered Edom and foolishly mass converted the Edomites to Hebrewism. This gave them the opportunity to live in the land of the Israelites. It was one of several fake conversions that the racial strangers performed at the request of a faulty Israelite ruler. If the Israelites had learned God's law, the rulers of Israel would not have attempted to pull off these impossible conversions. The same thing happened over 1,500 years later in Spain and Portugal. It was called the Spanish Inquisition. This provided a way that the Jews could make their false conversions into the Catholic Church, as well as infiltrate the state, science, education, industry, commerce, drama, and music, and corrupt all these institutions. But when the political climate improved, then they could throw off the shroud of professed Christianity and then became Christendom's most active enemy. This has been the repeated mode of operation any time they had the opportunity. In the last 500 or more years, they also had the banking institutions under their power with which they have enslaved Jacob Israel by charging them in their nation's interest. In Christ's day, the land of Israel was a mixed multitude, and Christ spoke only in parables in public. Scripture does not tell us this for no reason. The truth was only meant for his people, the pure Israelites whom the Holy Spirit would draw to Christ and into the understanding of the truth. The racial alien could not hear the words of Christ, only the sheep. The racial aliens were dogs, goats, tares, and wolves. They were never sheep. The people at this time in the land of Israel were not equal. They were never equal. They were direct opposites, one good and one evil. You believe that this is true? Chuck Baldwin has had his articles on anti-Semitism removed from a website on which he has written articles on different subjects for 10 years. Baldwin told the website owner to just take all his articles off. But that is not what I want to talk to you about. I don't know if it's been our imprecatory prayers or not. But I think that this is significant. This is a letter written in defense of Baldwin. Dear Mrs. Nelson, knowing the Father is also knowing who his enemy is. Dr. Baldwin has the courage to stand up for what he knows to be the truth. It is the truth. I too lived in deception as you are regarding the Jews. They are not from the tribe of Judah. They are from Esau, Edomite, Ashkenazi line. We have been lied to from the cradle to the grave, and by his grace, I too know the truth. I used to support the Jew until 5 years ago. We are Israel, his elect, his chosen. For the first time, I know that the truth has set me free. I have been searching for years. Keep on seeking and you will find. And had this divine revelation. It changed my life. I do know who I am. Until one knows this truth, one cannot possibly say that Dr. Baldwin is incorrect, or that one truly knows my Father. In fact, To do what he has done, and that in the USA, has taken huge courage, and his reward will be immense growth in his Father. Please, Mrs. Nelson, keep on seeking in truth and in truth for the truth. You will then find it. Lose the cod's wallop, whatever that is, you have received from the pulpits of Babylon. I would sooner deal with an atheist man than with a misinformed and deceived so-called Christian. In all humility, Mrs. Nelson, seek his truth. Barbara Botha. Barbara Botha is the widow of the former president of South Africa, B.W. Botha. That's quite a statement that Mrs. Botha wrote in defense of Chuck Baldwin, a statement that many consider to be anti-Semitic. Baldwin's statement was not anti-Semitic, it was anti-Jewish and anti-Canaanite. Baldwin called for the wiping out of both the education and energy departments, as well as the IRS and the Federal Reserve. He also said the United States should withdraw from the United Nations. In one campaign appearance, he ran for president of the United States, Baldwin termed the United Nations, quote, a sinister organization run by Marxists, socialists, and communists, unquote. One of his quotes is given by the website of the Southern Poverty Law Center. It is as follows. This is a Southern Poverty Law Center website. Quote, for the most part, Zionists control America's television news networks. You agree with that statement? America's major newspapers. The Federal Reserve and most of America's major banking interests, as well as America's entertainment and educational institutions, and even our legal institutions. Unquote. And what's wrong with that? Who do you believe? And what do you believe? Canada versus Topham. Well, there's a book on the left, Germany Must Perish. The book that Hitler fears. And the book on the right, the book that Jews fear, Israel Must Perish. They look about the same, don't they? One was written in 1941. That was the book on the left. Germany Must Perish, 1941. Before the United States entered the war against Germany, the book was written by a man who was the voice behind the radical press. He was found guilty of one count of communicating statements that willfully promoted hatred against an identifiable group. Some Canadians, such as Harry Adams, former representative for the League of Human Rights for the B'nai B'rith Canada, were thrilled. Quote, Canada says that you should be able to walk in peace and not be fearful to be victimized, to be vilified because of who you are or who you were born as, unquote, Abrams told CBS News. But Topham, he wrote the book Israel Must Perish, broke God's law when he committed interracial marriage. He has been married to a Jewish woman for 37 years. He doesn't criticize or vilify Jews for who they are or the family into which they were born. That is what he should have done, for that is the truth. He criticizes some Jews, like Abrams, who subscribe to some particularly noxious tribal exclusive policies and ideologies. Topham must have wrongly assumed that in a Western society, all forms of politics and ideologies, including Jewish ones, must be subject to criticism. In fact, the book, Israel Must Perish, promotes hatred against identifiable group. The book advocates the genocide through sterilization of all Israelis and the total dismemberment of Zion. The text is a deeply problematic pamphlet that demands the strongest possible condemnation, except that it really wasn't written by Arthur Topham. Israel Must Perish was actually written by a politically driven Zionist Jew named Theodore N. Kaufman in 1941 under the title Germany Must Perish. While Germany Must Perish is advocating the extinction of all Germans, the extinction of all Germans. Top Hand's Israel Must Perish is clearly a satire, quoting as it does verbatim from Kaufman's original. He substitutes the word Israel for Germany and Zionists for Germans. Well, who do you believe? We have a man who is married to a Jew criticizing the Jews. My conclusion. You remember the quote that John Swindon, the head of the New York Times, made at the beginning of the sermon? He told about the vassals of rich men that were behind the scenes. Who are they? Here's my answer. The deep state is the age-culminating version of the Sebuman predecessor of the Herodian era, that is, the Sanhedrin. Unlike its visible Edomite principles back in the day, its current leaders are behind the scenes, and their identities are well concealed. Its agents are legion. They include top lawyers, judges, and clergymen of all creeds. Most Jews in public and political life are numbered among them, along with their dupe Christian counterparts. Its aim is to rule the entire world by first destroying Christian civilization, a feat already accomplished in the West. The modern Sanhedrin now reigns supreme in the United States and Great Britain, where none but the courageous truth speaker dares breathe against its will. We have a president who has put his son-in-law in charge of financial affairs of the nation, who's worth, with the president's daughter, Ivanka, about three-fourths of $1 billion. The son-in-law's father served a jail sentence for tax fraud, witness tampering, and illegal campaign donations in 2004. His father, Charles, served 2 years in prison on the felony charge. His father's imprisonment in 2005 thrust Jared into a principal role at the company at the age of 24 and strengthened his intense family loyalty. He frequently flew to Alabama for weekend visits with his father and spoke out in the press to defend him. When Jared completed his biggest deal in 2007, purchasing 666 Fifth Avenue, a Manhattan office tower, for a then record $1.8 billion, his newly released father was at his side for the announcement. Now there's Jared right there in the middle. Advisor to Trump, father of Ivanka, and he's married to her. Chris Christie imprisons his father, who gave money to Hillary, Bill, and Rich Gillian. Oh, are they all mixed up? You look at this drawing here and you think about it. Jared Kushner seems to have revenge for Governor Christie's role in his father's jail sentence in 2004. Jared has avenged his father by pushing Christie out of the role of running mate for Trump. He was supposed to be the vice president. Later, Jared also ousted him from Trump's transition team. Ivanka changed her religion from Presbyterian to Jewish to marry Kushner. She, like Toplin, married a spouse who is Jewish. They have committed the same sin that Israelites committed in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And how many churches will say that they both committed an awful sin and need to release both their spouses and their children? Who do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe the media basically ignores most black-on-white murders while sensationalizing white-on-black killings? Do you believe that there were murdered 27 people who lived in Sandy Hook when the FBI report says that none were murdered for the whole year? Do you believe that Spain made a historic mistake in 1492, and thus they should make every descendant of any Jew who was living in Spain in 1492 a citizen if they want? Do you think the Jews should return the $25 million given them for anti-Semitism caused by one of their own? Do you believe that in Palestine, the days of Jesus Christ, the Israelites were a small minority of the people? Do you think it's impossible for any Canaanite, Edomite, Jewish person to hear the words of Jesus? Do you believe Mrs. Botha, who said it would be easier to deal with an atheist than a misinformed Christian? Do you believe the book Israel Must Perish should be censored? Do you believe Ivanka Trump sinned in marrying an Orthodox Jew? Do you believe President Donald Trump should have asked for authorization from Congress before launching the Thursday missile strike against a military field in Syria as required by the U.S. Constitution? Do you believe that the Pearl Harbor attack was known by the United States before the strike? Do you believe the Gulf of Tonkin was a staged event? You believe the Boston Massacre was fake? You believe that two of the three Israelite Air Force pilots who tried to sink a Liberty ship in the Six Days War were former American fighter pilots? You believe the sinking Lusitania was a lie? Do you believe, and on and on and on. Do you believe that Jesus Christ fulfilled the covenant that his father made with Israel, the Israel people, by coming and dying and then being resurrected for them and now sits in the right hand of God the Father making intercession for them? Do you believe that them is us? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.